So, can everybody hear me?
Yeah, of course.
My name is Johan Dahlin, and I've been working quite a bit on the Python bindings lately. I'm going to do a presentation, GNOME and Python, or how I learned to stop worrying and love Python, inspired by a Kubrick movie. I'm going to do a small introduction to the Python language, which some of you might be already seen or heard before, and a status report of the bindings in PyGTK and in GNOME. So, quick about Python. It's a very dynamic language developed by Guido van Rossum in the early 90s. It has its roots into language like ABC and Smalltalk, since it's an object-oriented language, and all object-oriented language takes part from Smalltalk. So what's special about Python if you compare it to other languages? First of all, it's very clear syntax, almost like writing pseudo code. It's very easy to follow, even for non-programmers. It uses almost English everywhere, instead of using in Perl with lots of special characters and regex everywhere. And it's also white space sensitive, so indentation matters. I don't think any other large languages or popular languages today use this. I'll talk about that a bit later. It's very easy to extend to, since most of all interfaces to operating system specific stuff like sockets and file system is written in C. So a large part of the language is written in C, and it's a very well defined and easy to use API for extending the language. And it's free software, licensed under their own license, the Python license, which is compatible with the GPL now, and more or less like X11 or BSD. You can use it in your... You can modify it without being required to open up commodifications. We have large vendors that use it today. We have NASA, who use it for, I think it's the launching process in part. Google uses it everywhere. Reddit uses it for the installer and all configuration tools. The whole installer in Reddit is written in Python. Symian uses it for red carpet primarily. Disney and Pixar use it for... I don't know, they use it for something. As do ILM and Yahoo. The real killer application for Python, the real showcase, is SOAP. I don't know if anybody of you have heard it. It's a content management system which tries to solve just about everything. It also has a very strong standard library. The community usually says you have batteries included, you don't need to buy or find the battery somewhere else. So part of the strong library, we have the modules, interfaces for many commonly used stuff, like internet protocols, all the standard ones, HTTP, FTP, SMTP, MDMTP, POP3, IMAP, etc. We also have nice and clean interfaces for parsing languages like HTML and XML, with very clear syntax, and also access to low-level OS routines, like socket interfaces, audio devices. And, file formats. And in the latest version of Python, you can do like in Java, load files directly from zip files. This is not in the stable release yet, but you will be able to use it as soon as it's released. Also have lots of other modules, I don't know if I can remember its significance. But you don't, the point in it, you don't need to go to the internet and download extra packages. You have most of the stuff you need to get going. This is the indentation part. As I said before, the indentation is very special in Python. If you see at the C code, this is identical code. C to the left and Python to the right. As you can see, C, you have to define explicitly braces everywhere to say that a block starts here and a block ends here. But in Python, you use the indentation to mark that everything, other four statements under the for loop, belongs to the for loop. So you indent one step by using space or tabs. This might be seems difficult to lots of people, but it makes it much faster to you to program when you don't have to care about this stuff. And sometimes you also can make errors since you forget to define. Sometimes you don't need to have braces if it's only one statement. For example, for the continue and print statement in C, you don't need to have braces. And if you forget to add and they want to add another statement, it gets sort of unexpected. It's not. It's not. I didn't realize until now. But it's a small workaround if you want to make it exact. You have to call range, a built-in function. The development model of Python is a bit special.
Do you need the continue?
No, it's just a silly example. Usually, languages like Java, C++, and C has a large company or a steering committee behind it. This makes it very difficult to companies or just users of the language to make themselves heard and introduce new features. So it's very hard in most languages to get in new features. In Python, since the whole process is open, everybody can get their voice heard. For example, Soap Corporation, which developed their large application called Soap, has lots of influence in the Python development, mostly because they employ many of the core Python hackers, so they can get their stuff in easily. And we have a Benedict dictator for life, just like in the Linux kernel. Guido has the final word on everything, which works out pretty well, since he's a very smart guy. We also have a foundation called PSF, Python Software Foundation, which owns all the code. Earlier, a few years ago, it was a bit problem since the development team, the core development team, always moved between different companies, and they claimed to have the copyright of the code, and it was hard to do license changes, etc. We also have a large, helpful community, which Gladys will help to support you. They have a good mailing list, IRC channels, etc. So the next part is a bit about Python bindings for GTK+. The first prototype was written in early 1997. Well, around June, there were lots of bindings for other languages, like Perl. The first Perl bindings released back then. I think it was Lisp too, even older. But the PyGTK we know today was started on another code base written from scratch. A few months later, early in 1998, it was James Henstridge who started this. The first public release was in the early January, and a few months later, the first for GTK 1.0 was released about the same time. A year later, it was for 1.2, which introduced a new couple of new widgets. I don't remember, I wasn't around at the time. And then, 3 years ago, development of the 1.3 or 2.0 version, which it was later renamed to, GTK started. And it's not really finished yet, but we're pretty close. So we almost had the same time span as it is for the GTK core library. I think it was something like three years and a few months before they started till it was released. So we are very late already. The different parts of PyGTK are GObject, ATK, Pango, GTK+, GTK, and Glade. GObject is not very useful in Python. It only provides a few things you don't have. For example, multiple inheritance and classes, which you don't have in C, which is the main reason to use GObject. You already have this built in Python. You have ATK accessibility toolkit, Pango for drawing fonts, GTK, GTK for drawing and more high-level buttons, and Glade. GObject, which is the core of the bindings, which is the hardest part to wrap and hardest to get right, with reference counting and everything to map it correctly into Python, provides the infrastructure for everything else. So all wrappers in GNOME requires PyGTK, PyGObject in the core. It provides for signals, types, the GObject structure, parent spec to send information about parameters. It's used by signals, for example. Also the main loops, GTK main, and interaction with the main loops, like waiting for input from file descriptors or timeouts, and multiple inheritance, which is not very useful in Python. The bindings for Pango and ATK are mostly complete. Almost all functions are there, and you can use it for almost anything you would use Pango and ATK in C for. I don't know anyone who uses ATK, the Python bindings, in the real world, so I haven't heard any bug reports or anyone tried to use it. But I think it's mostly ready. Pango, which is more used by GTK for drawing stuff, rendering, drawing fonts, and layouting fonts, already has pretty good testing and it's fully usable. A few functions are missing, but not very significant ones. For GTK and GTK, which is a very large library, I don't know if Owen says something like 2,000 functions. It's lots of stuff to wrap. GTK itself abstract drawing, so you have different backends for X11 and Win32. I can't remember any significant except a few drawing functions that's missing in GTK. Should be possible to paint stuff, and which was not possible in the old bindings, to create your own widgets. And GTK is not fully covered yet, but as I said, almost everything you need is there. We have a small example here, which maps pretty well to C. Shows you how much easier it is to, if you're used to C programming, you have to write lots of, much more code for doing the same. Well, not much more code, but much more characters. It's a very simple and silly example, just create a window and add a button to it. It shows how to do it. LibGlade has a bit special story. It started out as an experiment by James, who was too lazy to write a code generator for Glade. So he wrote a small library in Python to to parse an XML file and build up everything dynamically. And this turned out to be a pretty good idea, and it was later ported to C, which is libglade today. This is a small example that shows you how to read and open up a glade file, get a widget from the glade file. And then connect signals on a class. So assuming that you have a signal inside the glade file called onButtonOneClicked, you only need to do this, connect up all signals. It's everything you need to do, and then everything is mapped to this class. And then when you click on this button, this callback down here will be called, and some text will be set on the label. So, pretty quick about PyDTK. GNOME Python, which is another part, it's another separate package, and builds upon PyDTK for most cases, and PyG object, provide bindings for all other stuff which you find in GNOME. For example, gconf, which is a configuration system, GNOME print for printing, GNOME VFS, file abstraction layer, Nautilus, the file manager, applet bindings, bonob bindings, and the rest of the GNOME libraries, which are pretty much almost deprecated today, since we have it in other libraries. For GNOME print, we have pretty much complete bindings today. I don't know if one or two functions missing. It also wraps libart, which is required by the API. It's used for real-world applications. Gnomics, which also uses lots of vulnerable stuff, so it's not everything in Python is just not experimental. It's actually used in real-world applications and tested. Everything in this was contributed by Gustavo Caneiro. He's also done lots of work on vulnerable lately. The GNOME VFS part. Sort of wraps all the file abstraction layers. It's not very useful in Python, since you already have this functionality in the standard library. You have the same package called urllib, which can do the same. But you don't have the same asynchronous reading and writing, which in some cases is quite useful. You have wrappings for the URI, directory, handle, and directory handle, so you can open a URI if it's from HTTP or FTP, get a listing, stat some information about the files, which should be pretty useful for normal day-to-day use. There are some threading issues still, but they are known, and most likely to be fixed if anyone is interested. We also have bindings for the GNOME VFS module interface. The GNOME VFS module interface is the part that provides an interface to a protocol, for example, HTTP colon or file colon or FTP colon. We have an experimental interface to this, in which you can write everything in pure Python. There's also lots of threading issues in this, since GNOME VFS is fully multi-threaded. A small example here, just showing how to fetch a document from HTTP, convert it to a handle, and read some data. Nautilus is a bit more interesting, since it's quite difficult to do this kind of bindings in C. Lots of boilerplate code. You have to write hundreds and hundreds of lines to create even the smallest functions. So what we have here is an example how to create a Nautilus view. It doesn't do any significant, just display a label that it's a Python view. But as you can see, it's only a few lines. And easy to follow and understand. We only call a help function in Nautilus called viewStandardMain, which hooks up Bonobo and sets up a factory. You also need this is not a full example, you need a .server file to be able to show Bonobo activation, the part in Bonobo which Nautilus uses to query for different components, so Nautilus can find the components. You need to write one of these files and install, but that's about everything you need to do. We also have support for property pages, the part when you right-click on a file in properties, you get different notes. You can install one of these and do this with Python code. And context menus, which was added a few months ago. When you right-click on a file, you can get on the menu. I don't know if any large, if it's used today yet. Yep. Dave Camp has written a Nautilus interface for red carpet, pure in Python, which you have an example of a property page and a context menu. And to the applet interface, which is very similar, since it uses the same Bonobo interfaces, you need a factory IID, and then there's a helper function in the applet module. This is just about the same as the Nautilus bind, it's just a test label to show how much, show us how little work it is. And append this, you get a box in which you can pack the applet. So it's not exactly the same interface. It's also been used in a few experimental test applets, but it should work pretty well, no issues. And the Bonobo part, which consists of three different libraries. The activation part, which does querying and server registration. It does a few more things in C, but the only one that makes sense to Python is querying and server registration, since you can't really do shared libraries. You can only do out-of-proc, so-called out-of-proc components, which lives in another separate process. We also have the basic Bonobo stuff, which is used by both Nautilus bindings and applets bindings for property bags and Bonobo listeners. For the last part of Bonobo UI, which is Bonobo UI, we have the bindings for just about everything. But the most significant is the Bonobo window for menu merging. Bonobo control, which is just a wrapper around, or more or less a wrapper around GTK plug, GTK socket. And the rest of the bindings, which is for GNOME, which is GNOME program, that's registration for command line arguments, and other small functions like showing a URL. When you call this, you can get GNOME UI to read the MIME system, to send in a URL, and it launches an application for you. In GNOME UI, we have for GNOME About, GNOME Icon List, GNOME Druid, and GNOME App. The GNOME Canvas bindings should also be pretty complete and are used by a few demos. Not too much to say about it. For gconf, pretty much everything is wrapped to. We also have bindings for set of... I need power. And we also have bindings for CVT and GTK HTML2, which is not which is replaced by other bindings. VT is the new terminal widget, so it should in all cases be used instead. And GTK HTML2 is sort of replaced by GTK HTML3 and Mozilla. But you could use them in Python if you like to. Another part of the Python bindings is the bindings for Orbit2, which is a core by orb. So you can call and do core by calls and call vulnerable components or other stuff. It has typelib support, so you don't need to use any stubs or anything. Everything is loaded in runtime. It uses all new features in Python 2.2, which replaces the old Orbit Python, which was a lot of problems. I'm not going to talk about this, so go to Ian's talk tomorrow. Python is used in quite a few places in GNOME today. Of the core GNOME, we have bindings included outside of the PyGTK and GNOME tarballs, GNOME Python tarballs, for Mr. Project, leave Mr. Project the backend, which has complete bindings, VTA, and libxml, which is pretty complete. They used mostly for testing. Testing the libxml library. For embedding, which is a program that embeds Python. The application is written in C, but some part of the applications needs to make use of Python scripting. So you embed a Python interpreter inside the application. And this interface has, Numeric has this interface, also GIA and GIMP. The Numeric uses it for without basic like macros. So you can do all kinds of wacky calculations. I haven't looked at the GIA interface, but the GIMP you can access most of the plugin stuff, so you can write plugins and scripts easily that manipulates images. Well, it was pretty much everything I planned, but if you have any questions, Thomas?
So, if you have GTK and you need to write it, how do you decide if you will be using, for the underlying layer, if you use your own Python bindings for GTK, or if you actually write the GTK functions? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not really.
Well, you can either, if I write a GTK, you write a GTK binding, right?
Okay.
And you write a function, you can either re-implement that function in Python by using your own GTK bindings,
yep.
Or you can directly wrap the
C function.
Yeah. How do you choose which is best to do?
In almost all cases, the C function, since if any bug fixes to this function goes upstream, you can't catch up.
Okay.
Since you have to re-implement everything.
Yeah. So it's always better to wrap the C function.
Like yep.
Okay.
Unless it's very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And PyGTK, the old version used to be written partly in Python, but the new version is written totally in C, except for a large code generator.
Mm-hmm. And if functions return values by argument calling, does it make more sense to trigger exceptions over trying to return them like you do in C?
Python doesn't have any out arguments or something
yeah.
like that. So
yep.
The general way that's usually wrapped is by returning a tuple, which will have usually just a return value and any of the out arguments.
Okay.
Or returning a class.
That's used pretty consistently throughout, including being standardized and understanding Python and Orbit.
Yeah.
In that Python mapping.
So you don't especially add exception triggering to the bindings?
Well,
what exception?
Which sort of exception are you talking about?
I don't know, we're trying to do the same for GStreamer, and just wondering if error codes should be triggering exceptions instead of returning errors.
Well, you don't have, for GStreamer, which is written in C, you don't have exceptions.
It's worth looking at on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Because in some cases, it might be a lot easier to have an exception and make a lot of sense.
Because then you need to do more extra work for your wrappers, but they are more Python-like.
Yeah, we've got some stuff in there that will be automatically convert some error codes to exceptions,
For example, the VFS bindings. In GNOME VFS itself, you have error codes.
Yeah.
And this is wrapped by using two tables to convert to and from exceptions. So when you have an error in a GNOME VFS function, it maps to an exception is erased. And then in the GNOME VFS method bindings, you have to do it the other way around.
Okay.
So you have to listen on exceptions and return error codes.
Okay.
Nothing else?
What is the difference between those kind of bindings and the use of, for instance, WX Python?
So, if I heard you correctly,
if I have to make a small program to display something, why should I use? I guess I use yours.
Well, I'm a totally beast, so it sort of depends on what your priorities are. If you need to be fully cross-platform, PyGTK should probably not be used. But it has pretty good support for both Win32 and X11. I think that VX Windows has better support for portability. And it does a bit more, it's just not toolkit bindings, it also provides a framework. If you're only going for Windows, which I guess you wouldn't anyway if you're here. There are probably all the better toolkits for Windows. But PyGTK is a pretty good choice. Yep.
What's the documentation around this?
The documentation is almost non-existent. But you have a very good tutorial maintained by John Finlay, which gives you a start if you want to try PyGTK and how to do basic stuff. Should be enough to get going. And if you run into issues, we have a pretty good FAQ, which covers the most common issues. Oh, you're talking about Python itself?
No.
A Google search is probably easiest. Since Google knows everything anyway. Okay.
So, project went numeric, and that I'm kind of interested in the Python support there. And
okay.
It seems like the PyGTK thing is a really good way of prototyping ideas and actually writing large parts of those projects. I just wondered, if it's technical issues because you've got this GTK app that's really trundling along with its main loop at the moment. If you try and run bits of PyGTK with some kind of interpreter, has anyone played with that much?
You mean by embedding PyGTK in? Or
effectively, I mean, in numeric, you've
already
got an embedded.
Numeric doesn't embed.
It's got an embedded interpreter. I think it to this, but if you start trying to run PyGTK code with
that, as long as you're careful
about not starting a second maintenance process, does anyone have to do that sort of stuff?
The issue, I think, is that. I can't really hear what you're saying, but I think...
It seems to me with the concept that there's an awful lot of development going on in C, which you get more features faster if you're writing in Python. You've got things like numeric, which has got this really good engine for doing this, the calculation really, really fast. And so
yeah.
If you can augment it with some PyGDK, that would be really good.
Was the question? Sorry, I couldn't hear correctly. It's,
I was just talking to myself.
Well, there are some issues with embedding. I didn't hear what James said, but to be able to use PyGDK inside an embedded application like Numeric, you need to use shared libraries, so the interpreter is not loaded twice. Traditionally, when you're using embedded application, you link against Python statically, since it's quite a mess to link dynamically, create shared libraries, portable. It's only recently that we got this with libtool. So if you use a recent Python and build with shared library support, it should be good enough. And regarding using PyGDK, I think Gia for GDK 2 uses embedded PyGDK. I haven't tried this. But maybe only the bindings is for PyGDK 0. But it's at least tested, so it should work. Okay, go ahead.
What's the state of the Python and Uno?
You know,
I saw on the previous slide, you might have mixed.
I haven't really looked at.
I think it is working. I mean, I know people use it for with SOAP, actually, for actually uploading Word documents to a website, for example, and getting HTML from them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of easy to store, but it's supposed to work.
Okay. I haven't really looked at the Uno bindings, but I think I don't know if they are currently developed.
Yep. In relation to the
but currently the state of integration between Uno and OpenOffice, StarOffice in general is pretty bad. You know, you can't do so much stuff. There were at some point some experimental bonobo bindings. You could embed OpenOffice style sheets, OpenOffice documents inside Nautilus, but I don't think it's actually maintained and doesn't work too well today.
Python
and Uno, or you know, and you know, Python and Python. Okay. Would you demonstrate the demo applet code? Sure. Not on the computer. I don't know if it's installed, but I can try. So this is a port of the, I don't know if you can see enough, if it's,
yep, it's quite good.
More or less a line by line code of the, line by line port by the demos in GTK demo. This is an old version, there are a bit more recent available, which fixes the GTK stock button, which the application main window demo uses. For button boxes, yeah, explains how to pack. You also have item factory. Which is pretty much like C, just not so many lines. It's the same calls to GTK, just less code to write. For the list or a small example, I would use the new tree view widget, the list store. Nothing very exciting. I'm afraid that I don't have any applications to demo, but we have, I can show this too. I don't have a router. But Red Carpet, which you might have seen, the new version for Xima Desktop 2, the user interface is written in PyGTK. And they actually embed the whole application, so you don't need Python. You only need GTK libraries, so everything is embedded. I guess that's it, unless no one else has any questions.